defending liberty 1 hour at a time, and broadcasting from the RWB Network Studios in New York, you're listening to The Rhino Report. Always right.
Let's get ready to rumble!
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
She got chunked. You are very rude.
If you want to turn yourselves into a greasy spot on a country road somewhere, go right ahead.
And now, here's your host, The Rhino.
Hello, hello, hello. I am The Rhino, and this is my report today, February 8th, 2016, one day away from New Hampshire. However, if you are listening on Red State Talk Radio Studio B, it's the day. It's the day for the New Hampshire primary. It is about 1 a.m. on February 9th. Eastern, as always, just a little ahead of my time. Well, we had a weekend with highs and lows. If you're a Carolina Panthers fan, you saw some lows. You also saw your team kind of be a little bit of a sore loser. We're going to talk about that. Not too long. I think we'll talk more about the halftime show. I think we have to talk about that. That is very important. We're also going to talk about the debate. We had that debate on Saturday night. It had good ratings. It rated higher than the Fox News debate just a week before. And why is New York letting level one sex offenders not register anymore? What's going on in New York? I don't know. We're going to get to all of that. But first, we need to start off our Monday with the Pledge of Allegiance. All right, the Pledge of Allegiance, always brought to you here on the Rhino Report every single day by the kids. I don't know, this Super Bowl, well, in case you didn't watch, in case you fell asleep during it, the final score was the Broncos, Denver Broncos 24, Carolina Panthers 10. This was perhaps the most boring thing I've watched on TV all year. And I like football, I do. I don't hate football. It's not my favorite sport. I'm a hockey baseball guy, always have been, always will be, but I'm a New York Jets fan, and I cheer for the Jets, and I like watching football. It's fun, it's very Americana, it's one of the few sports that really only us play, I guess in Canada too with the CFL, but really we our lives revolve around Sundays and Monday nights, right? That's how it is here in this country, and every single team, no matter how bad they are, they pack the stadiums every Sunday, every Monday, sometimes Thursday nights, sometimes Saturday nights, I guess, after college is over. They have the Saturday night football. We like football. Now, football is in steep decline. More and more parents every single year are not letting their kids play football. And it has nothing to do with Will Smith movies. But it has everything to do with concussions. And this was a problem long before Will Smith put on a bad Nigerian accent and did a movie about it. And didn't get nominated also. We can't leave that out, right? Because that's a big thing now. Football is fun. The average career of a football player is only 4 years, though. And so the way football works, these guys can renegotiate their contracts. They're allowed to do that because the average career is very short for most players, linemen, guys that take big hits. Parents aren't letting their kids play. What you're seeing is some parents let their kids play because of the college aspect. They want to get scholarships to college. Well, there are other ways to get scholarships to college. Other sports, you can get a badminton scholarship. You probably won't get hurt playing badminton. Or, hey, lo and behold, you can get an educational scholarship. Those are still around too, believe it or not. There's other ways to get into college besides playing football. But this game I thought was pretty boring. Sticking with this little rant on football here, I believe in 25, 30 years, we're going to be saying to each other, hey, remember football? Because I don't think it's going to be around, especially after what happened at last night's halftime show. This was an utter disgrace, and the NFL needs to answer questions, and they need to be ashamed of what happened at this halftime show. I worked in law enforcement. I can tell you, everybody I worked with in law enforcement were big football fans. Most cops, most first responders, they're football fans. You're talking about blue-collar workers who enjoy football. But no, the NFL turned their back on the police and law enforcement in this country to further the Black Lives Matter movement. This is just one reason why football may not be around 25, 30 years from now. It's partly due to parents being protective over their children, but it's partly due to the NFL's inability to just stay the heck out of it. You know, what was more offensive to you? Seeing Janet Jackson's boob or watching Beyonce parade around in a Black Panther costume with 50 other people? What's more offensive to you? Now, I understand Roger Goodell and the NFL have to pander a little bit to the African-American community. I understand that. A large majority of their players are African-American. And there's nothing wrong with that. These are talented individuals. They're making a lot of money. But why do you have to politicize the Super Bowl? Disgraceful. Absolutely disgraceful. If you were watching this and you didn't catch on to what was happening, number one, that was sort of by design. They didn't really want you to know. Because only a very select places are actually covering this today. Fox News or Fox and Friends mentioned it this morning a little bit. They had Rudy Giuliani on. We'll get into some of his comments. But throughout the day, they haven't even mentioned it. No one's even said a word about it. New York Post has an article about it. Breitbart's talking about it a little bit. Could you imagine if you had the Aryan Brotherhood happen to have a good singer and they were in the halftime show and they did a swastika formation at the 50-yard line during the Super Bowl? Could you imagine that? No, it would never happen. And it shouldn't happen. Just like this atrocity should have happened. Never should have happened. This was a political statement. And you need to look no further than the fact that Jay-Z and Beyonce just gave $1.5 million to Black Lives Matter out of their crashing media company title, whatever the heck it's called. It's burning. It's dying a slow death. They gave him $1.5 million. First of all, Black Lives Matter does not need those donations. They are well-funded. Much higher up. Why would the NFL let this happen? Who watches the sport? The sport is watched by a majority of white, blue-collar people. It just is. This is not a racist statement. This is the fact. Their viewership does not consist of militant black people. It just doesn't. Why are you trying to push the issue? Are you afraid the players aren't going to play for you? Guess what? There's an ass for every seat. Somebody will take that player's spot. Somewhere there's a guy in a practice squad who's going to say, I'll play for you regardless. Unreal. Absolutely unreal. I was sitting there and I just couldn't believe what I was watching. Maybe the average person didn't pick this up. Maybe they're seeing the news stories now and they're saying, well, maybe. I guess I remember that. And it's a little distasteful. It's a little unsavory. I was 100% offended by this. 100%. And then there are pictures coming out. There are pictures from the dancers. I mean, I guess you can call them dancers. I don't know what the heck they are. There are pictures with them with the Black Panther salute, holding up a sign that says Justice for Mario Woods. Mario Woods was an individual shot by police for refusing to drop a knife. I believe it was San Francisco. So he didn't drop a weapon. He didn't obey a law enforcement officer, and he got shot. That's what happens when you have a weapon and you disobey law enforcement. He didn't get shot because he was black. That's not why he got shot. He got shot because he disobeyed a law enforcement officer and he was threatening them with a knife. But they make these statements. So they're standing there with this sign. They got the Black Panthers fist up or whatever the heck it is. And then there's another picture. There's a whole group of them. And same thing. There's got to be 25 of them here. And they're all holding up the Black Panther sign. Of course, they're wearing the berets. And they have the afros or whatever you want to call that hairstyle. These are pictures that are circulating. They were proud to take these pictures because they knew they were making a statement. Do you think the Tea Party would ever be allowed to do a halftime show and wave around the flag? Don't tread on me. Would they be allowed to do that? They'd never be allowed to do that. I don't care if Adele is a Tea Party member. Because of her affiliation with the Tea Party or a conservative group, she'd never be allowed to do that. Not in a million years. But we have to sit there and watch this garbage. It was garbage. It was like the Jets and the Sharks going back and forth in this stupid dance thing. And then that idiot from Coldplay. I don't know what the heck his name is. I had it somewhere here. I don't even know his name. I don't even know this guy's name. He tries to get in the middle and dance with them. This was a travesty. It was a utter unmitigated disaster. I can't even compare it to something. Maybe you can compare it to the Clinton campaign. I don't even know what to compare it to. It was a dumpster fire. But the NFL loves it. They loved it. Nothing but good things to say about it. They are getting slammed on social media. There was something like 147,000 tweets a minute in reference to this while it was going on. And the NFL just, mums the word. There's nothing wrong with it. They weren't saying anything. Yeah, okay. If that's what you think, if you're stupid enough to believe this wasn't a statement, then you shouldn't be running the NFL. You shouldn't run a McDonald's if you're that stupid. Unbelievable. I didn't want to watch the rest of the game. Because, honestly, I don't care who wins. The Jets aren't in it. I know that sounds like I'm being a homer, but the Jets aren't in it. I don't care who wins. I really don't. I'm happy Peyton Manning won. I'm actually more happy that he has as many Super Bowl titles as his brother Eli. I don't like Eli Manning. I'm not a Giants fan. I'm not. Sorry. And did you see Eli Manning's reaction when the clock was counting down and Peyton's about to win his second Super Bowl? Eli Manning looked like someone just punched him in the groin. Everyone's cheering, they're hugging, they're kissing. He's sitting there like someone just told him his dog died. Because he's not top banana anymore in the Peyton household. Archie Manning gets to like Peyton more again. Right? No, Archie Manning, the father, the one who wouldn't let Eli go to the San Diego Chargers because they weren't a good team. So he finagled this deal with the Giants to draft him. This isn't a sports show, but most of you people like football, and I get it. So most of you guys know what I'm talking about. This was, and then you had the Panthers, okay? They had a good season. They had a good, strong, tough, hard-playing, hard-nosed season. They had a lot of swagger, right? A lot of mojo. Always with the good comments, good post-game interviews. And that comes with winning. I get it. When you win, you have a little bit of swagger. I've played competitive sports. I played hockey through college. I know there's a certain swagger that comes with winning. But when they lost this game, I have never seen a bigger group of sore losers in my life. And I was shocked. Because I don't think Cam Newton's a bad guy. I think he's a fun guy. I think he's a great quarterback. But he's really, really immature. And I didn't know that until last night. He sits there for, what, 3 or 4 minutes, gives a couple of one-word answers, two-word answers to the media, and then kind of sulks off. Yeah, you lost, but you know what? You played a game. There are 28 other teams in a position that would have loved to lose a Super Bowl. Would have loved to have been there and gotten that bonus and gotten that media exposure. They thought that they were deserving of it. They deserved to win. Gee, where have we heard that before? People who think they deserve something. It was terrible. You always get the losing coach's reaction. It's always like in the hallway, maybe 5 or 6 minutes after the game is over. They shake hands in the middle, the guys, whatever, the t-shirts and the confetti. They always catch the losing team's coach in the hallway there, back to the locker room, and they always give a pretty good assessment. Listen, we were outplayed. We didn't bring our best game today. We didn't convert passes. Whatever it is, they say the right things. And Carolina's coach said the right things, but his team acted like a bunch of sore losers. A bunch of sore losers. Terrible to see. This was by far the worst Super Bowl, in my opinion, in a long time. And the commercials sucked. They were terrible. The commercials were a disaster. I don't think there was one entertaining commercial, was there? Maybe that Doritos one, where like the baby tried to jump out. That was pretty funny. But now, of course, the pro-choice people are screaming that commercial had a pro-life, you know, we're humanizing babies spin on it. You know, leave it to the pro-choicers and these progressives to spin a Doritos commercial. Leave it to them. Listen, it's Doritos. It's tortilla chips. You should love it. They should say it promotes Mexican immigration. That's what they should be saying. But no, it humanizes babies. Well, guess what? They're human. They're human. Life begins at conception. End of story. End of story. They're yelling about a Doritos commercial. They didn't say anything about this politicized disaster during halftime. Horrible. Horrible, horrible. No one's really talking about it. Nobody wants to say it. Nobody wants to come out and say that this was completely uncalled for. And the NFL has to certify this stuff. They look around. They call people. Who wants to come perform? And usually it's the honor of performing that draws people to say yes. And they have to put a routine together, a choreography of sorts. And I'm sure there's someone in the NFL that has to approve this stuff. You just can't go out there and do whatever you want. There's a lot of moving parts to this, moving stages around and getting people on and off the field. They do it all in like 6 minutes or whatever. I mean, kudos to those guys, the guys who work these stages and stuff. I mean, really unbelievable. But somebody approved this. Who approved it? Who made me watch a Black Panthers rally yesterday? Who did it? I want to know. I want to know. All right. We talked about the Super Bowl enough. Now, of course, the NFL power rankings for next year came out this morning. So just in case you thought football was over for a few months, the next year's power rankings came out. The Jets are 12th. So that's all I got to say about the power rankings. Crazy, crazy. Well, football season never really ends, right? Because you have the draft coming up, and then after that, you have the spring camps and whatever else. I don't know. It's the longest season for 16 games. 16 games. This thing takes all year to play. I don't get it. I just don't get it. All right. Talked about the Black Panthers. Railed against them a little bit. That is definitely deserving. You know, Beyonce, I don't even think she looks good, to be honest with you. I don't think she looks that good. She kind of looks like, I don't know, Doc Brown or something. I don't like the way she looks. Yeah, so Giuliani said, this is what, he was on Fox and Friends this morning. And he said, this is football, not Hollywood. And he's right. It's football. Why do we have to politicize a stupid sport? When you have Jackie Robinson Day, and I think it's April and during the baseball season, that's a good thing. This man did an incredible thing. He broke the color barrier in our national pastime, our national sport. And he was a great player. And of course, there's lots of reports that he wasn't the best Negro League player at the time. He was the one who could handle it. Branch Rickey thought he had the mindset to handle it. And boy, did he handle it. Unbelievable what Jackie Robinson did. So when you have the day, and everybody wears the number 42, and Major League Baseball retires number 42 throughout the whole league, and everybody wears it that one day, that's good. That's not politicizing anything. Yet it's still promoting a black athlete who did an incredible thing for the sport. There's nothing wrong with that. I look forward to that day, actually. You know what? That's actually kind of a fun day to watch baseball because everybody's wearing the same number, and you think you know who every player is, but you forget that maybe you need the name on the back of their jersey once in a while to tell. But on this day, you don't see it. It's just the number 42. And, of course, there were some players who still could wear the number once it was retired. They were grandfathered in. I think Mariano Rivera wore it. Butch Husky wore it. Some other guys wore it until they retired. But now no one can wear the number. But it's a great day. It's a great day. You get to see how far we've come as a country. Before the Civil Rights Acts in the 1960s, here was Jackie Robinson doing something nobody else did. Truly amazing. Anyway, getting back to Giuliani, he said, "I thought she used it as a platform to attack police officers, who are the people who protect her and protect us and keep us alive." He's right. They were using this as a statement to attack police officers. Whenever you align with Black Lives Matter, you are attacking police officers. Every tweet I use, I'm going to start using Blue Lives Matter. Because it's these people that put their lives on the line every single day who might not go home to their kids, who might not go home to their spouse, who keep us safe. These people need to be revered, they need to be respected, and they don't need to have their image tarnished during the halftime celebration at the stupid Super Bowl. Crazy. Giuliani is 100% right. He's 100% right. We let these Hollywood types dictate everything that goes on in this country. They backed Obama. They backed Clinton. They backed Bernie Sanders. They backed John Kerry. Remember that? They all backed John Kerry. They all hated George W. They hated him. Why? Because George W. wasn't going to cave into them. But now, it's pretty funny, because some of them aren't really backing Bernie anymore because of this 90% or 80% tax rate. Well, all of a sudden, their money is really what's more important. So maybe that's what they had in mind the entire time when they're backing all these candidates. Who's best for their bank account? And whoever's best for their bank account is the one they're going to tell you to vote for. I know Susan Sarandon, she's out there campaigning for Bernie. She looks like a pile of dish rags. I wouldn't listen to a word she says. Not a word she says. But Hollywood tries to run the table on the American people. And it's the 1%, right? But it's like the lower part of the 1%. Because there's the upper part of the 1%, very conservative. Because they're very protective of their money. It's like that 1 to 5% maybe. Maybe that's the better area that try to tell you what you need to do. And they try to use their Hollywood status to influence your opinion. In philosophy, that's called an appeal to unqualified authority. That's what it's called in philosophy. Alec Baldwin doesn't have any political experience besides the fact that he goes and makes speeches for people. That doesn't qualify you in a political arena. And yeah, could you use the same statement toward Donald Trump? Yeah, you absolutely could. Donald Trump is by no way a politician. But he's running for president, and people like that. If Alec Baldwin and Susan Sarandon and Timothy Robbins and Beyonce and Jay-Z, if they got something to say and they think they're so freaking smart, run for president. Then you can say it. Don't say it at the halftime show. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. And you know what? Now I'm making a concerted effort to look at all the advertisers that were around that halftime show, and I'm not going to buy a damn thing from them. And I'm going to put it on Twitter. I'm going to put it on blast. I won't buy a thing from them for supporting this. And they may not have known, and they probably didn't know, but they're still guilty. They're still culpable. They're funding this garbage. You know, the best thing to happen to the Super Bowl yesterday, the best thing to happen, probably, well, the most interesting thing that happened. I don't want to get this taken out of context. The most interesting that happened yesterday happened about an hour after the Super Bowl. Some of you know what I'm talking about, and some of you don't. But I'm going to tell you all about it after the break. An hour after the Super Bowl, about 8:26 p.m. Pacific time. So if you have a little time here, maybe you'll Google it and you'll get to it before the next segment comes on. I didn't really mean to talk about the NFL for almost a half an hour. It's so aggravating, people. Here's a sport we all love. We all like to watch it, right? We all like having our barbecues on Sunday. Maybe the guys over Monday night to watch a game. Even though none of our teams are playing, we still watch it. And here it is. It's turned its back on you. It has absolutely turned its back on its viewer. Who buys all the jerseys? Who buys the hats? Who buys all of the NFL merchandise license stuff? Who buys it? Who spends all the money? Yet, who are they pandering to? Politics should never get into sports. Any sport. Doesn't matter what the sport is. Politics should never be a part of it. It is entertainment. It's something we do to get away from real life for a couple hours, maybe escape some of our problems. And they interjected it. They violated you. They violated all of you by doing this. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about this most interesting thing that happened after the Super Bowl. We're also going to talk a little bit about South Korea. Maybe we'll talk about that debate. You know, everyone's talking about it. They've been beating this dead horse for 2 days. We'll talk about it. I have my opinions on it. Some of you may like it. Some of you may not. I think most of you will. And then we'll talk a little bit about some new poll numbers that came out. These are the last set of polls before, of course, the primary in New Hampshire Tuesday. So we have a lot to get to. A little bit of a lightning round because I took up so much time degrading the NFL here. But luckily, I think I'm lawsuit free. I think I'll be okay. Or are they going to sue me and get my podcast from me? Go ahead. Or be able to get my truck with 170,000 miles on it. They can have that if they want it. Roger Goodell can drive that jalopy if he wants. All right. So we'll be back. In the meantime, head over to Twitter. Give me a follow. At Rhino on Air. That's at Rhino, R-Y-N-O on Air. Or shoot me an email. Thoughts, comments, keep them nice, keep them mean. I don't really care. Somebody actually called me an inbred on Twitter yesterday. And he called me an inbred. And it was the funny thing about it was they had on their profile, like, picture that coexist sign. But they still called me an inbred. So I guess they don't want to coexist with inbreds, I guess. Unbelievable. So shoot me an email, rhinoonair@gmail.com. Head over to the rwbnetwork.com website. Check out some articles. All your old Rhino Report shows are there. You can listen to them. You can binge listen to them. And we'll be back in about 1 minute.
You are listening to the Rhino Report.
She got chunked.
Always right. Now streaming on Red State Talk Radio.
You are very rude.
Hey guys, your friend and your host, The Rhino, here. There are three ways you can get involved with The Rhino Report and the RWB Network. Here they are. Listen up. Number one, you can be a writer for one of the fastest-growing grassroots conservative media outlets out there. Send me a submission, and I'll read it, and we'll get you published on the RWB Network website. We see hundreds and hundreds of unique hits every single day. Number two, if you want to hear The Rhino Report in your local area, all you have to do is go to your local radio station's website and find the program director's email address. They're always pretty prominent there. Send them an email, say you want to hear the Rhino Report on your local AM or FM station, and I guarantee you, if just one person emails the program director, they will find me and we'll be on your airwaves. The third way to get involved with the RWB Network and the Rhino Report and actually make a little bit of money is if you have a little bit of sales experience or even none at all, shoot me an email. We're looking for people who want to sell some advertising space. The show is growing and so can your bank account. So those are three ways to get involved with the RWB Network and the Rhino Report. I'll see you back in about 20 seconds.
Talk radio the way the founding fathers would have done it.
I'm just a man trying to make his mark on history.
Red State Talk Radio.
This is Jeff Carlisi from the band 38 Special. Let us never forget that police lives matter.
All right, we are back with the Rhino Report. I am your host and your friend, The Rhino. I was talking about it just a little bit at the end there, that somebody on Twitter called me an inbred. I mean, I get made, you know, I get people, I guess, whatever, making fun of me or whatever, harassing me on Twitter all the time. It's not a big deal. And if you guys get it too, this is what you need to do. I'm going to give you some really good advice here. Ignore it. Don't go back at them. Don't try to fight them. Because you're not going to change their opinion. Remember, they're an uninformed person. Below average. Fighting with them is like fighting with a two-year-old. Okay? If your two-year-old hits the spoon of the cereal bowl and knocks the Cheerios out, there's nothing you can do to make that two-year-old not do that again. They just don't understand. Because the two, they're pretty uninformed. Well, that's what these Twitter trolls, these mongrels too, they're uninformed. Don't let them get under your skin. The best thing to do is just keep on preaching. Keep saying what you're saying. Don't let them slow you down. Our message is good, our message is strong, and our message is right for this country. No pun intended. Well, sort of pun intended. So don't let them slow you down. Take it. They want to call you names? Let them call you names. That's what the Democrats, the liberals, the progressives do best. When facts are not, when you don't have facts on your side, you have to resort to name calling. These ad hominem attacks. Let them do it. What, maybe they'll pick up a few followers? Those are followers you don't want anyway. These are people you don't want following you, so who cares? Let them say whatever they want. Who gives a crap? All right, so keep doing what you're doing. Don't respond. Keep pushing the message. All right, so what happened after Super Bowl 50 that was more interesting than the game itself? Well, it comes courtesy of North Korea. They had launched a missile. We heard about this just prior to the debate on Saturday night. They launched a missile. It's being reported this may have been an ICBM, an intercontinental ballistic missile test, where they launched like a satellite into the atmosphere, and it's like the same technology they use to do an ICBM. So, whatever you draw, you connect the dots there. So they put this satellite up into space. And now the fear is that they may at some point put a warhead or something on one of these satellites and then drop it and explode it over the United States, creating an EMP. We heard Ben Carson refer to an EMP. I think Jeb Bush did too, which is an electromagnetic pulse. Typically, most EMPs that we've experienced, actually all EMPs we have experienced that we know up to this point, have come from the sun, from X flares and M flares. But it is also doable if you can detonate the proper device above a country or a region to knock out all communications, electronics, transmissions, whatever. So they have this satellite now up in space. They say they have four, but we can only find two, and we're still searching for the communications, I guess, from this one that launched on Saturday. But this satellite went right over, it sailed right over Levi's Stadium. Just about an hour after the Super Bowl. That was done on purpose. That is not a mistake. That's done on purpose. And I'll tell you what happened. This was a fail because I'm sure whoever the flight commander is in North Korea who positioned that satellite is probably in some camp, some worker camp now. Because not because he did that, because he didn't do it during the halftime show or he didn't do it during the game. The fact that the satellite was about an hour late, I'm sure this guy's in a lot of trouble now. We all know how Kim Jong-un operates. So this satellite, the Shining Star 4, or it's got some North Korean name too, but I can't pronounce it. I'm not even going to try. It was discovered by some techie out in Silicon Valley. He emailed the AP, and he said he saw it about 8:26 p.m. After the game, he said it might be a coincidence, but an interesting one, and I don't think it was any coincidence. This was definitely done on purpose. This one is hovering anywhere from about 500 to 600 kilometers into space, so it's a bit higher than the International Space Station. They have another one up there in space too. It has been sort of falling. It's been getting sucked into the atmosphere the last couple of years. It went up there in 2012. I don't believe they've ever gotten any radio signal from it. But this is a little concerning. It's concerning not because it went over the Super Bowl or the parking lot afterwards or whatever it was. It's concerning because they were able to position it. And if there is ever a threat of an EMP, it probably would come from North Korea. And it would... Kim Jong-un just doesn't care, right? He has China's backing. He doesn't care. He'll do whatever he wants to make himself look powerful in the eyes of his people, who 2% of them have electricity. You know, I've always said the best thing we can do, North Korea, is drop a bunch of iPads down there and let these people see what's actually going on. Because they're all metered. There's no news, no independent news in North Korea. It's all state news. They're only told what they're supposed to hear. Well, this rocket launch that went off before the debate on Saturday is being condemned by about the entire international community, with the exception of really, I mean, China's kind of saying, well, they shouldn't have done it, but we really can't impose sanctions on them anyway. Russia is saying we should do something. You have to understand, Russia and China are both allies of North Korea in the UN, okay? Russia and China are also in dire, dire straits economically, to the point where, you know what, a war might help them out. It may help them out. Russia is getting killed on gas prices, killed. And China keeps devaluing their currency, right? They've had the kill switch go off there on their markets 4 or 5 times in the last couple of weeks, because it drops more than 7%. So the kill switch goes on, shuts the markets down, and then it reopens like 90 minutes later, or if at all. So both of these countries are in dire straits. And you know what? North Korea is kind of like that kid in high school where you have the two big bullies and they have like a little lackey that maybe will do stuff for them just to kind of poke the bear. That's who North Korea is. North Korea is that little lackey between Russia and China who would start something. They see we have a very, very weak president. We have a weak administration. Why not start something? Why not just poke the bear and see how far they can get? Now, do we want to engage China in a war now? No. Do we want to engage Russia? No. Our military has really, it's diminished. It's a diminished military. And that's not to say they're not great men and women. They're amazing people who serve. But there's just not enough of them. There's not enough resources. I don't think we'd lose any war, but I think we'd lose a lot of people. And that, I don't want to happen. Definitely, definitely not. So, because of this rocket test, they had an emergency meeting of the UN. South Korea is not taking any chances. In fact, there was a North Korean, Navy vessel, maybe it was a rowboat or something, that drifted a couple miles south of the perceived border in the Yellow Sea. Now, South Korea believes the border is a little bit more north of where North Korea believes it is. So there's a disputed border on the water there. And South Korea fired a couple of missiles into the water next to this boat. I don't know if it was a rowboat, a tugboat. Who the heck knows what kind of boat it is? What kind of Navy North Korea has? But so they're getting a little testy. Now, South Korea also wants to have some missile defense systems. Called a THAAD, THAAD, and they're going to be speaking with Washington awfully quickly, if they're not already, about having this THAAD missile defense system implemented in South Korea, okay? If you watched the debate on Saturday, one of the questions that ABC brought up, and it wasn't a gotcha question, it was a very relevant question. I think ABC, by the way, did a pretty good job. I don't like seeing George Clintonopoulos there. I think he is just, he tries to be like down the middle and just be like a moderator between the pundits before and after like the commercial breaks. But he only does it because he knows it's the largest audience ABC has ever seen on a Saturday. That's why he was like that. Normally, if you watch anything on ABC, he's just so far to the left, it makes your head spin. He's such a Clintonite. It's unbelievable. But they brought up a question to the candidates, and what they asked was, if you knew that North Korea had a rocket on a launch pad sitting there for a week that may be testing ICBMs, what would you do? Would you preemptively destroy it or would you not? And I was really surprised to hear the only person who said they would destroy it preemptively was Jeb Bush. This was a big step forward for Jeb Bush. A guy that, I mean, I listen to and I think I have nothing in common politically with this man. He was the only one to say he would destroy it. And you know what? Good for Jeb Bush. And there you saw a little twinkle of the George W. Bush eye. Because George W. would have done the same exact thing. Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz and Donald Trump, they all kind of danced around it a little bit. Listen, if this thing is sitting there, and we're not sure where it's going, but we know it's going somewhere, either in space or over the ocean, you gotta knock it out of the water. You gotta just blow it up where it is. You have to. It's a national security issue. National security in this country is so far down the list of things that our administration cares about that North Korea thinks they get away with this. What does our administration care about? Demonizing cops. Saving the ozone layer. Protecting 2 million acres of ocean water. Taxing you more on gas. 136% increase on tax on gas because now it's affordable. They don't care about national security. They care about legacy. It's the last year of the administration. All they care about is legacy. They don't care if we get bombed the day after the election. It doesn't matter. It won't be on Obama's head. It'll be on the next president. So they're just going to kick the can down the road till it's to the point of no return, till we have to engage in a war, which is something that China and Russia want. And you better believe North Korea wants it too. They definitely want it as well. This test was nothing short of provocative. And it was provocative to the point that we need to take serious action. And no statement from the UN condemning it, these stupid statements from the UN condemning things, they don't do anything. They do nothing. We need to say to China, we're not going to pay back our debt until you get North Korea under control. Because you know what? Here in this country, we're so used to creditors holding our debt and us being beholden to creditors that we don't understand, because we're not in the power position, right? As the borrower, we're not in the power position. Visa is, MasterCard is, you know, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, whoever, they're in the power position. They're bigger than you. They can squash you. Well, on the world stage, the United States is in the power position. We need to say to China, we're not going to pay it back. And if we don't pay it back, their economy is really going to plummet. Or we need to say, we're not going to take your imports. That's what we need to do until you get North Korea under control. And they're going to have to do it. Because here on the world stage, we're in the better position. We're in a better position economically, for now anyway. We're a stronger force. We have more allies in the world than China does. We need to say to them, we're not going to pay our debt back. And then, once they get North Korea under control, then we say, okay, we'll pay it back, but we want to renegotiate our terms. These countries need to feel the full force of the United States, and our leaders just don't want that to happen. We kowtow to everybody. China's pretty much saying, well, we can't do anything about it, because if they place sanctions, if the U.S. places sanctions and the U.N. places sanctions on North Korea, they're afraid of all the mass migration from North Korea into China, and they don't want it. See, we don't understand things like that, because our administration is so okay with people crossing the border into our country illegally that we don't see this as a problem. It's crazy. So, South Korea, not happy. Japan, really not happy. Obama, doesn't care. Just doesn't care. This was a major thing. Did he come out and make a statement? Maybe pre-Super Bowl? Do a press conference? Or address the nation? No, he sat there with Michelle and they talked about stupid topics. Now, every interview with the president does not need to be a hard-hitting interview. But sometimes, people are concerned. There are people watching this debate, right? The news was broken at the debate about this test launch. Nobody knew about it, really, until, I mean, if you're on Twitter, social media, a little bit. But nobody knew about it. No one knew about it. It was broken at a debate. The news, the scoop, whatever you want to call it. People were concerned. They're still concerned we've heard zilch from our president on it. Zilch. All right, getting to the debate. Listen, the big winner, Chris Christie. Like him, hate him, he was the big winner. He put Marco Rubio in his place. He really made you believe that Marco Rubio is not fit to be president. He's not ready for it. I like Chris Christie, and I was starting to like Marco Rubio a little bit more. I think he's a nice guy. I think he has a good message, and he's right. Obama knows exactly what he's doing. He's right. He's 100% right, but he's just not saying it the right way. So Chris Christie called him out. Chris Christie just said, you have this drive-by shot, misinformation, and then your 25-second rehearsed speech. Chris Christie was on point. He won that debate hands down. It doesn't matter who you support. If you're a Cruz guy, if you're a Trumper, if you're a Kasich. Kasich was good too. But a Kasich person, whoever you are, you have to admit Chris Christie crushed it. He crushed it. He looked presidential. Trump had a pretty good debate. Not too bad. A little back and forth with Jeb, and he called out the audience, which, you know what? Yeah, most of those people, there are donors. Or there are people who were given tickets. He was 100% right. And they booed because they knew he was right. That's why they booed him. Cruz, a little taken back by the waterboarding question. Didn't really know how to answer it. Listen, waterboard, they do much worse. They do much worse to us. We need to do that at least to them if we know of an imminent attack. End of story. Cruz has to get a little less Washington-y sometimes. Like, I know people, like, his big supporters don't think he is, but watch how he really tries to mince his words. He really tries to use the right words and the right phrasing as to not get in trouble. A little too much of that from Cruz. Safe play at this last debate. John Kasich, great ground game in New Hampshire, picking up lots of points. In fact, John Kasich Super PAC has been doing some polling, some private polling, and they are seeing a 10-point drop for Marco Rubio post debate. He did not have a good debate, and then he goes onto ABC and he doubles down, saying, "I'm going to keep saying it. I hope you guys keep playing that clip." Well, what's he going to say? Chris Christie schooled me. Treating me like a school kid? No, he's not going to say that. So he doubles down on it. And I know what Rubio is trying to say. He's trying to say that Obama is calculating, that he knows what he's doing in an effort to destroy the country. He's just not saying it the right way. He's not. He needs to change his phrasing. He's being a little too safe about it. Kind of how Cruz was with some of his questions. A little too safe about it. I thought Jeb Bush did okay. Ben Carson, listen, always has good answers. He's very, very smart. He's just not exciting people. And he's not exciting people in New Hampshire. He may take the trek down to South Carolina, out to Nevada. I think that will be it for Ben Carson. But his support will go a long way. His support will probably go a longer way than his actual numbers in the polls, if that makes any sense to you. I think people look at him, they revere him as an intelligent, level-headed, funny, nice guy, and I think that goes a long way when it comes to throwing your support to somebody. I could see a Donald Trump maybe getting his support. So, this debate on ABC did pretty well. It actually beat Fox News. There was a 13.2 rating. Fox News was a little bit lower, at 12.5, something in that area. So, this beat Fox News. Of course, Trump was there, and they're saying since voting is already active in New Hampshire with those absentee ballots and whatnot, people are more interested in it. It did really well for a Saturday. It really did. It did good. 13.2 is not a bad number. It was ABC's highest rated Saturday night show ever, I think, which is good for them, which is why I said George Clintonopoulos tried to be as down the middle and as objective as possible. So people look at him and say, oh, there's a real news guy. When the rest of us, we know it's hogwash. We know it's all BS. He's a Clintonite through and through. George Stephanopoulos shouldn't be let within 5 miles of an election event. He just shouldn't be. You know, for those of us who know better. So, we're looking forward to Iowa. And, to New Hampshire. It's moving right along. We're zipping right along. To New Hampshire, it's going to be a big turnout. The tides have swayed in the right direction. We had a record turnout in Iowa. Ted Cruz, the winner, had the highest number of Iowan votes ever in a Republican caucus. and they're expecting a large turnout in New Hampshire. Trump today is playing it down a little bit. He's saying, please vote for me. He's kind of toned down the rhetoric a little bit. Maybe he's seeing that that tends to get him some more support other than the very brash nature he generally has. He is leading by quite a lot. We'll do some polls here real quickly. I'm not sure if we're going to get all this stuff in today. I talked about football too long. This is UMass 7 News tracking poll. Trump 34%, Rubio 13%, Cruz 13%. Kasich 10 and Bush 10. Those are the big movers there. Christie still at 5. Then you also have that same poll, UMass 7 News tracking on the Democrat side. Sanders 56, Clinton 40. She picked up a couple of points there. And then you have the ARG tracking poll for the Republicans. Trump at 30, Rubio at 16, Cruz at 10. Rubio and Kasich both at 16. Cruz at 10, Bush at 9, Christie at 6. That same poll, Sanders 53, Clinton 41, a 12-point advantage there. Let's not look out to Michigan, but Trump has a lead there. Arkansas, Cruz has a lead. And so those are the polls as they stand right now, just one day before the New Hampshire primary. Things are getting exciting. They are getting exciting. I do think I will predict Trump does win New Hampshire. I think Christie will have a better showing than these polls are alluding to right now. We had that, let's see, oh yeah, Jeb Bush criticized Donald Trump by eminent domain. Meanwhile, the Bushes used eminent domain to build a baseball stadium in Texas. That is out from the Trump campaign today. Listen, eminent domain, Donald Trump's 100% right. The pipeline doesn't go 10 feet without it. It just doesn't. But it's something that would need to be really, really strictly looked at, and people need to be paid a lot of money for their property. Or you have to go around. You have to go around the property. It is what it is. So that was also in the news today. We talked about Kasich and his super PAC. They're saying that Rubio's dropping over 10 points since the debate. Let's move on to New York. New York is saying that a law that has required level one sex offenders to register for 20 years is now expiring, and these level one sex offenders, many of whom have molested and have committed very, very bad crimes against children as young as 2 years old, are now going to not have to require, or are not being required to register. There's a Republican, a Long Island Republican named Dean Murray, and he has introduced a bill that would extend this requirement 10 more years. So as it stands now, they have to register for 20 years. So he wants to make it 30 years. And the Democrats in the New York State Assembly, which is primarily Democrats, like 70% Democrat, don't want this to happen. They don't want this to happen because when you remove restrictions from people, you can now call them free and they will vote for you. So hoping for the sex offender vote in New York are the Assembly Democrats. Okay, these are the people who were led by none other than the guilty Sheldon Silver. All right, they don't want this to happen. They think 20 years is long enough for a sex offender to have to register. This is how things go in the great state of New York now. Listen, that's terrible, and it shouldn't happen that way. These kids need our attention. These kids need our attention and our protection. From conception until 18 years old. Once they hit 18, you're on your own, right? But, yeah, the Assembly Democrats, this is not making big news on Long Island and in New York because of the liberal nature of our network newscast. This actually hit Fox News, which was a little surprising, but it was buried right way down deep on Fox News. Working in law enforcement, I can tell you, and it will be backed up by statistics, that the recidivism rate amongst sex offenders is north of 70%. So north of 70% of the people who commit sex crimes and then go to prison and come out or probation and finish, reoffend. That's recidivism. It means the reoffend rate. 70%. All right? But New York Democrats don't care about our kids. Well, we knew that. We knew that because of this whole Common Core garbage. They don't care about our kids. All right. That's it for today, folks. Talked about a lot, ranted about a lot. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you join me on Wednesday for the next show. But for now, a big thank you to those who are serving our country at home and abroad. Also, a huge thank you to to the men and women in the law enforcement community, thank you for all you do. Thank you for all your hard work. We all depend on you. God bless all of you. God bless all your families. And until Wednesday, I'm the Rhino, and I'm out.
You've been listening to the Rhino Report. Always right.